So in the baskets, there's this little sermon notes slip. You'll find that, or some of you will find that helpful to go with this morning. I'm sure, as Karen asked the children, it's the same for adults, that we all like to receive gifts. I can't imagine that there'd be many people who say, nah, don't like gifts, don't like to receive anything. But we also know that phrase, that saying, it's more blessed to give than receive. It's actually from Acts 20, verse 35, Paul quoting words of Jesus, saying, more blessed to give than receive. And that makes sense, because giving is in the nature of God. And so if we can discover giving, we're discovering something of God and who God is. God is love. And love cannot help itself but pour out and give. It just can't help doing that. God is love, God gives. And so the challenge today is very much for us to discover that character of God's and image it, and to give and release. Well, Karen talks with children about our shoe bags. Our shoe bags go each year to Sierra Leone, one of the poorest countries in the world, and they're given out to children, a mad scramble at Christmas, and loads of children suddenly appear. And that's where the shoe bags go, and that's where we put in just basic items. It's on the list, there's a whole tub at the back, a toothbrush, a little t-shirt or vest, some pens, pencils, colouring book, that kind of thing. Very basic stuff to go to Sierra Leone. But of course, that's something that happens once a year. We encourage followers of Jesus to discover that habit of giving regularly, of giving frequently, making it part of their budget, the way they do life. And us as a church, we rely on that. We can't actually operate as a people here without people generously giving week on week or month on month. We trust God for the resources that we need here, as a church, as a group of people. We trust God that those resources will be given through us. And God is faithful. We have seen God meet our needs over the years. We have seen giving increase, and now we're at a point where, as a leadership and with the members, we need to say, what more ministry do you want us to do, God? Because you're blessing us so much with these finances and resources. So how can we put them to good use? We don't just want to accumulate in a bank account, but we want to do more with what you're giving us. Some of that will be for stuff to do with the buildings, but we also want to release people into ministry in different ways. If you want to be part of that, if you're not part of that at the moment, it's very easy. Just ask myself or a deacon. We can give you a gift aid form and standing order form, and we can make that work, or just put offerings in the back. And of course, the tax man can increase with gift aid, and so all that's good stuff. Make that work among us. But a clear opportunity for us as a church to do more ministry, to facilitate more opportunity for kingdom life across this city, is through the Christians Against Poverty, the CAP initiative. And as a church, we have already budgeted £2,000 per year for the next 3 years to help that CAP debts relief become a reality. And here we are releasing the money, giving it over. The way it's going to work is that St. Mary's, our friends at St. Mary's Church, are going to administer that money on our behalf. So people will give through here and we'll just hand it over. We'll release it and say, look, you use it for the CAP initiative. Releasing it over. And that's an important principle, that we see in the early church. In Acts 2 and in Acts 4, it says people released their resources. They sold their possessions or they took their savings, and it says they literally laid it at the feet of the apostles. Well, that wasn't because the apostles like raking through money with their feet. It was an expression saying, look, it's at your disposal. You use it how you see best before God. And that's what we're doing with our cap money, where we're putting it through St. Mary's at disposal for the cap project, saying you use it as you see best before God. Our key question and challenge, which is on the next slide, please, Ollie, this week, is what giving does God want to enable through you? And the challenge is release. Put it someone else's disposal. No strings attached. And where possible, increase. If you're already giving, see where God may be laying on your hearts. Can you give more? Release and increase. You see, the bottom line is that giving is a spiritual exercise. There's a solid line between our ability to embrace this question and this challenge and the depth and the health of our relationship with God. That's why it's an up question. It's to do with us and God. There's a direct line between our ability to release and give with no strings attached and our spiritual health and our relationship with God. That will work out in different ways. It'll be different for each and every one of us. It will be different amounts. But the principle is a solid line, a connection between the two. Giving for the common good. And giving with no strings attached. I was shocked this week. I was reading a book, and the author was saying that he was involved in this wonderful ministry amongst students in a university somewhere in the States. And they were doing really good stuff, seeing students come to Christ and all that good stuff. And a local church phoned up this student leader and said, good news, as a church, we've met and we've decided to give to your student ministry several thousand dollars. One hit gift, several thousand dollars. And the guy thought, fantastic, that's great. And he immediately started thinking of all the new ministry amongst students that they could potentially do with this several thousand dollars. But then in the same phone call, the person from the local church said, but there's just one thing that we ask. On a Sunday, can you come and teach one of our Sunday children's classes? Now think, what has just happened there? What has just happened there? How much is that several thousand dollars worth? Well, I would say it's actually worth zero. Because it's not a gift. It's a transaction. It's a purchase. We're called to give with no strings attached. This week, there's all these things have happened this week. It's amazing. I read that in Germany, someone made a large single individual donation to the Salvation Army in Germany. But with it, they said, please only use this money on such and such a type of people, not on such and such and such and such type of people. The precondition was actually racist. I'm pleased to say that the Salvation Army sent the money straight back and said, that's not a gift. We can't accept that. It's not a gift with no strings attached. Let us give unconditionally. Let us release for future ministry. And where we can, let us increase. This week, this is just a silly example, This week, I was involved in a simple transaction. One of my tutors from Theological College pinged out a Facebook message saying, my new book has just come out. If anyone wants a copy, let me know, and you can buy a copy straight off me. And so I pinged back on Facebook, as did many others. Great, yeah, I'll have a copy. Send me one of your books. Transaction. He sends the book. With a book, of course, is a slip of paper saying, well, it's going to be £6. If you can just put the money into my bank account, here's the sort code, account number. That'll be good. Fair enough. Absolutely great transaction. Go online, type in account number, £6, send, done. And logged out. But then I thought, no, actually, I can do better than that. I can do better than that. I can log back in and send another £6. And then send them a message saying, I have paid twice. It's not because I got butterfingers on the send button and actually accidentally pressed twice. It's because I want you to identify someone who might balk at £6 for the book, might not be able to afford that, and you can just give them a copy and bless them and take that. Well, I'm not saying that because I want you to think that I'm wonderful. It's just a stupid example. It's £6. It's a coffee and a cake. This is a big deal. But it's the principle. Release and increase. Release and increase. It might be a small thing. Or it might be much bigger. But that's our challenge for this week. I'm going to invite the musicians to prepare. Because the best way of meeting this challenge or facing this challenge is to come before God in worship. To understand more of the character of God and who he is. So I'm going to invite us to stand together as the band continue to lead us in our worship. Let us adore and see him. That's the place to start when considering this question and challenge. Let's stand together and sing.
If you want to look up the reading, it's from 1 Corinthians 12. And I'm reading from verses 1 to 11. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them all. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines.
Well, do keep 1 Corinthians 12 open. You might want to correlate with the slip and what I'm saying. Because talking about giving, and this passage is talking about giving, but another angle on giving. We've talked about giving financially, our time and our abilities, and this is God giving to us, God giving through us by his Spirit. Well, let's learn some Greek, shall we? Verse 1 uses a word pneumatikon. Pneuma, that's breath, that's spirit. God breathes his spirit, and that enables us. With that suffix, tikon, that's things, workings, gifts, which is why it's translated spiritual things sometimes, here, many English translations now, spiritual gifts, pneumatikon, things of God's breath, his spirit. But Paul goes straight on to make something very clear. And so the next point on the notes is that the work of the Holy Spirit asserts that Jesus is Lord. The work of the Holy Spirit points to Jesus and enables us to discover and see, appreciate to a greater depth that Jesus is Lord. So people who do things or say things are things that help others see that Jesus is Lord. That's all fueled by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Well, why is Paul making this point? Why is he hitting on this, which he hits on all through the passage? Well, the reason is simple. It's because the Corinthian Christians at the time were doing something very, very childish. They've fallen into a trap. Basically, the Corinthian Christians at the time were making the mistake of saying, "Mine is bigger than yours." The same thing that schoolboys do in the playground. And girls do as well, I'm told, at certain stages of their development. Mine's bigger than yours. Yours doesn't count. Mine does. And the Corinthian Christians were doing this. Some were saying, "Well, look, the Spirit's working through me, not through you. What I can experience in the Spirit, that's clearly of the Spirit, but I'm not sure about yours. Mine is bigger than yours." Basic schoolboy childhood behavior. And so Paul wants to bash on this and say, no, if it's asserting that Jesus is Lord, if it's helping people discover that Jesus is Lord, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit. There's no room for this mine bigger than yours nonsense and silliness. And so he goes on in verse 4 with another Greek word, charismata. Charismata. Charis, grace, charity. Mata, more workings, given. Things that are happening. So charismata is grace given or grace working. And again, Paul is saying this occurs by the same Holy Spirit. Grace workings by the Spirit. But he goes on, it's not just grace workings, it's grace ministries, using the words diakona, the same word that we translate to deacons, the people who serve with us in leadership. So there's these workings, there's these ministries serving, and then there's these operations, which is another Greek word that's too long and horrible for me to try and pronounce. But again, he's saying it's all of God's. In fact, he says something really wonderful. He says the grace workings is of the Spirit, the grace ministries is of the same Lord Jesus, and these operations are of God. And when he's in a list like that, we would read God the Father. So, as a matter of fact, Paul is talking about the Trinity, Spirit, Son, and Father, all working in these diverse ways. There's a diversity. There's some people working in some ways, other people working in other ways. But it's all of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No room for one discounting another. But then verse 7, he ratchets it up a little bit more and introduces another Greek word. We're on a roll with Greek words this morning. Paranesis. manifestations of the Spirit, occurrences of the Spirit, the Spirit doing stuff that you supernaturally see before us. This is the Spirit supernaturally working through us. Paranesis, manifestations of the Spirit, things occurring that only God could do, but doing it through us as people. And then he spills out this long list. He says, for some people they'll have a gut knowledge, a wisdom in a situation. Other people will know specific facts that they cannot know other than God revealing it to them. For other people, it will be that conviction in praying for something. We can pray in absolute faith that God will work. For others, it will be praying for healing. And again, it uses that word, charismata. Gifts, grace, workings of healing. For others, it will be miraculous powers. For others, it will be prophecy, telling what God is doing, what's on God's heart. For others, it will be the ability to distinguish and to know this is of the Holy Spirit, but that actually is not. And for others, it will be speaking in languages, saying words that they have never learned that language, either a human language or some other godly angelic language, but they've never learned it. The Spirit supernaturally works through them to enable them to speak out those words. And still other people to interpret that unlearned language, to say, well, this is what God is saying. All these things, Paul is saying, is the Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, supernaturally working through us. We're going to explore that a bit more tonight in our gifts workshop, 7 o'clock here tonight. Everyone's welcome. And we'll have a bit more teaching, and it's also practical, hands-on. That's interesting because we need a volunteer for the gift of raising from the dead, so that'll be more fun. But we do hands-on practical stuff in learning to minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. So all welcome tonight at 7 o'clock. Clearly, this list, there's 9 things here, but it's not exhaustive. There are others. Has great diversity. But through the whole thread, it's the work of the Spirit. It's the same Spirit. It's the Spirit working again. And it's bracketed by these wonderful words in verse 11 and verse 7. In 11, he finishes, this happens by the Spirit giving, just as he determines. It's not our choice. It's not something that we work up or work out, but as he determines. And then in verse 7, these are given for the common good. We've heard that phrase already this morning from Acts 2 and Acts 4. Given for the common good, for the benefit of all of us. Not just a few keenies or a few special people in the corner, but for all of us. And we discover that it's God giving through us, enabling us to receive and give at the same time. To simultaneously receive and give. Receive because this is God's supernaturally enabling us in the moment for ministry. Giving because you minister to someone else or other people in the process. So you're doing both by this wonderful work of Holy Spirit. And this work of Spirit has no strings attached. The only thing the Spirit wants is to draw people closer into relationship with Jesus. That's the only catch, if it's a catch at all, is to invite people closer in to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now here's the deal. We as Christians, as people following after Jesus, should naturally expect this supernatural stuff to be going on among us. And Paul here is talking about this stuff. He's not saying, look, this stuff should be happening. He takes it as read that it is happening. That the Corinthian Christians were experiencing this stuff going on among them. But of course, he was having to correct a misunderstanding that they had developed, that mine's bigger than yours, that what I can do is more important than the next person, or this one's greater and that one's lesser. He was correcting that, but saying, look, this stuff is happening. Some of you are able to pray for people and see people healed. Yeah, that's wonderful. That's gifts of the Spirit right there. Some of you have this knowledge that you couldn't know, but you're able to speak out and say, this is what is happening. That's a gift of the Spirit right there, working amongst us. Some of you are able to speak these words in other languages. Other of you can then interpret that. Again, that's the same Spirit working among you. That's fantastic. But realize, it's all the same Spirit. It's not one better than the other. It was natural for Paul and the early church to be experiencing this stuff, because this is what happens with God with us. Emmanuel, his presence among us, it's going to manifest, bring about these occurrences of wonderful things of God, which is going to unlock situations with the words of wisdom and knowledge and prophecy, and maybe through tongue and interpretation. It's going to enable us to receive. It's going to enable us to pray with greater faith, with more conviction. It's going to enable miracles to occur and other things to take place that only God can do, because God is with us. And so it draws people together in closer relationship to Jesus, which is what the Holy Spirit loves to do. Remember from last term, one of our favorite simple teaching points was, incredible things are possible because God is with us. And God is with us, so these things are possible. It's incredible, it's because it's of God. But it's a natural consequence of God's being with us. The bottom line is that God wants to give. But when he does that, he gives for the common good. So if we can go forwards back to our key question, there it is. What giving does God want to enable through you? Well, maybe the answer for you this morning is less about time or finances, but more about God simply manifesting his presence among us and working through you to minister to other people. Maybe that's what the giving that God wants to enable through you is all about. And the challenge to release and increase, maybe that's a challenge to be more of an open channel for his Spirit to be at work among us. To be more simply saying, well, here I am, God. If you want to speak through me, you can do that. If you want me to pray for someone, then I'll get on board with that. If you want to give me a surge of faith to pray with conviction, then I'll try and go with that, whatever way. But to be open, to allow the Spirit to release through you and increase the possibility of his working among you. When we do Alpha courses, we typically like to take people away for a whole day. It's usually a Saturday. And we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, and we cover all this stuff in a lot more detail. We look at other angles and aspects as well. And we get to a point where we invite people to just be prayed with and allow us to minister. And before that point, I normally requisition a musician to come and lead us just in a few songs so that we are in an attitude of worship and adoring God, and that kind of enables us to be ready to minister. And so one day I lined up this musician to come. He's a guitarist, he could sing a bit, and he came along to do that. But he also brought his wife, because his wife is a singer, and he thought, well, actually, my wife can sing better than I can, so I'll play and she will sing, and that will help and be wonderful. And I said, yeah, that's fine, fantastic. So when we get to the ministry, if you can continue on your guitar and your wife can join me, and we will pray with one of the people coming on this Alpha Away Day. And she hadn't done that before, but she was okay to go with the flow, and so that's what we did. And so we got to the point and we prayed with this other lady, and so the singer, remember, she was the helper of the helper, coming to pray with me, and I prayed, do what I do for this lady, and then the singer started praying, and prayed for the lady two or three different prayers, as I recall. And then we got to the end of the ministry time, and we always kind of say, well, what do you think was happening? What was going on? And the person we prayed for said to the singer, said, how did you know to pray for those things that you prayed for? And she said, well, I didn't. I just made it up. He said, if you had asked me at the start my top three things to be prayed for, those would have been what you prayed. Now, we don't do that. We don't ask people, what would you like prayer for? We just pray. I call it praying blindfolded. We just pray and see how the Spirit leads. And so this singer, remember, she was the helper of the helper. God spoke through her in enabling her to pray the top three things that our guest on the Alpha Saturday would have asked for. So the singer was blessed to pieces because she realized that God could speak through her and minister and bless this other person, a complete stranger. The person on the course was blessed because they were prayed for on the top three things that they needed prayer for. I was blessed because I could see the team working and seeing how the Spirit was moving through different people. And then when we shared it with the whole group, we were all blessed because we could see that God was working among us, the Spirit giving just as he determines for the common good. And that is the way it should be. And we should expect that among us because God is with us. Let's stand together.